Sean Gentile joins us from the Sporting News. Sean, I guess first of all, let's start with the draft. Should we be surprised that the odds are going to be compressed in a year where there's the most talked about prospect since Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, it's pretty great timing for the league. I'd say pretty bad timing for, you know, the Buffalo Sabres. I think they're the biggest losers coming out of this. No, it's not a surprise. It's the best draft, you know, by most accounts since 2003. And there's gonna be a lot of angling, a lot of strategic stuff going on down the stretch. So it certainly makes sense that they would want to get more teams involved and tweak stuff coming into it. Yeah, I don't think the timing is a coincidence.
No. Sean, do we have any more information at this point, or at least some educated guesses as to what form this compression of the odds, if you want to call it, is going to take in terms of numbers and percentages?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything all that specific. I think you and I are at the same point as far as this is concerned. It is there's going to be a compression, that there is going to be a better chance that a larger group of teams moves up, and the team that, you know, finishes with the worst record seems like it's going to, you know, see its odds slip down a little bit. But that's about as specific as I've seen and heard. And I think we're gonna get a little bit more into it later on. But you know, the main thing to take away with it is, you know, more teams have a better shot of moving up. And you know, I think that's generally a good thing.
And they may and they're going to tweak that the year after as well, are they not?
Yeah, it's a fluid process. It, you know, it's something you've seen. You know, there's continually discussion in the NBA specifically about it, because, you know, tanking, or the perception of tanking, at least in basketball, is an even bigger issue than it is with hockey. And you know, it's a constant kind of fluid thing. There's, you know, you have all these crazy theories about, you know, this wheel system to determine who gets to pick where. I it's just kind of the nature of sports now, I think, because, like I said, I think the tanking issue is continually kind of at the top of things, and everyone, you know, wants to try to avoid that. So yeah, it's going to continue. We're going to see, you know, the tweaks kind of continue to trickle out, and it's going to be a constantly kind of fluid sort of thing.
And I think I find it hard in hockey to convince a team to really tank. A, you're limited on how many recalls you can get after the trade deadline. And I don't know if you can really create a winning atmosphere if you say, hey, guys, we want you to lose on purpose, but then next year we want you to try hard again.
Yeah, it's that way across sports. Players are never going to tank. It's organizations that tank, you know, theoretically, where, like you said, you look what the Philadelphia 76ers did last season. I won't get too far into it, but if you want to see a team that's just flat out, yeah, you know, trying to stock up on ping pong balls, they're example A. But that doesn't mean the players played any less hard. Obviously, it's an organizational thing, and it's certainly something you want to avoid. And I think that's why, you know, we're kind of seeing a lot of these tweaks across the board.
How about this year's draft, the immediate draft under the old system? Always talk, you know, is the first pick in play, second pick, third pick, move up, move down. There's always a lot of noise, most of it coming, I think, from media guys as opposed directly from general managers about a shuffle at the top of the draft. What's your take on this year's draft in terms of that?
Well, I'm in Philadelphia, actually, and Dale Tallon spoke a couple minutes ago and said that, you know, he did get a kind of favorable offer for the pick, but he was, you know, 70%, I think, is the number he put on actually making it, you know, for the Panthers. So he's done a good job. I agree with you. It's a media fueled thing, you know, talking about changes at the top and whatever. But Tallon, you know, this season at least has been pretty open about his, you know, desire to at least listen to offers, you know, as far as that's concerned. But it really does seem like they're going to make the pick, largely because, you know, by all accounts, Aaron Ekblad is you know, if not the overall best player in this draft, certainly the best defenseman by a by a wide margin, and that's the kind of player that that Florida needs. You know, he's a two-way guy. He's you know, mature and ready to step in immediately. And you know, given the way they've stocked up on forwards over the last couple of years with Huberto and Barkov and a guy Nick Bjugstad took some serious strides forward this past season. You know, they need a guy like they need a guy like Ekblad, and they probably should make that pick. So it seems like that's going to happen. But you know, who knows? There's still got 24 hours ahead of us before anything goes down.
The other thing with everybody in Philadelphia, you know, the media, most of the media there. The Ryan Kesler rumors we're hearing, more teams are trying to get involved on that. Berglund just signs a contract, a very favorable one at 3.7. If Ottawa or somebody wanted to take him back, you know what his contract is now for 3 years. You know, that, to me, that seems like a move by the Blues to ensure that they try to get in on at least one of Kesler or Spezza.
Yeah, I think so. You're going to continue seeing Spezza particularly linked to the Blues. We've seen that for weeks now, and as you kind of said, Berglund was thrown around as one of the kind of principals in any return that they would have. But you know, especially with Kesler, the ball's in his court. There's not much of an indication. Like obviously, lots of teams went in on it because Ryan Kesler's still a good player, and you know, a lot of teams would be pretty lucky to have him. But the ball's in his court, man, and there's not a ton of evidence that his list of acceptable teams has expanded all that much. It was Anaheim, it was Chicago, it was Pittsburgh, and you know those are still, you know, maybe Pittsburgh falling out of it considering what's happened there over the last few weeks. But Anaheim, Chicago are still at the top of the list because ultimately that's where he wants to go, and he's going to be able to dictate his destination if it comes to that.
Sean, this week where teams officially have an opportunity to speak to free agents and without making an actual binding offer, the league will point out. I think it opens things up. I long suspected in all the drafts I went to, teams would at least inquire, at least with agents, before they were officially supposed to. What's your take on sort of this week of speed dating among UFAs and teams?
I think it's a good thing. I think it, helps players get a accurate, an openly accurate. There's no need for cloak and dagger. There's no need for, to pretend that when a guy signed at 10:01 on July 1st, it was the first contact anybody had with him. So it's fine. It's informational. I think it's going to be a good thing moving forward. It certainly benefits the players more than the teams, I'd say, because you do have players getting the full sense of what their market value would be, rather than, using that last week to maybe gauge and not entirely figure it out, and then maybe stick around. So it's beneficial to the players, but I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Yeah, I wonder how many teams who aren't interested in a player just throw out a number, because you can't officially give out numbers, but just try to escalate the price even though they don't want to be involved in it. I guarantee the players will try to use the teams. You got to see if the teams are smart enough to try to use the players.
Yeah, right. And you have, I don't know what's stopping the New York Islanders a couple of days ago from saying to Matt Niskanen, yeah, we'll pay you, $7 billion a year or whatever. They're gonna be winks and nods maybe we pay this, maybe we don't, and kind of ways of getting around it with there's no real way to police it. So yeah, I think these guys have a good sense of what they get, and it'll be interesting to see the effect that has, not just on the first couple hours of frequency, but over the first few days.
Sean, we appreciate it. Enjoy Philadelphia, and if you run into Nilsson and Iwanek, try to take care of both of them.
You got it, buddy. That sounds good.